Please remain standing for a reading from the Gospel according to John, beginning the
second verse in chapter 8. Early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin cast the first stone." And then he bent down to the ground again and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. And from now on, do not sin again." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This is the third in our series on Jesus and women, studying how when Jesus interacts with women in the Bible, it often reveals great truths, simply in the fact that Jesus is doing it at all and that we have a recording of it. Women in this society are usually at the mercy of the men around them, the men who control them, their fathers, their husbands, the men of the temple, the elders of the community. And in this story, we see that Jesus is putting everyone on the same footing, at the mercy of God. We begin that Jesus is teaching at the temple. It's what he often would do, is go and sit and teach, and people would come and listen to his new ways of understanding the law, his new interpretations of the law that so infuriated the people in charge, the Pharisees, the scribes, the temple leaders. So here they come, these experts on the law. And they separate out this woman. We don't know her name. The story doesn't tell us. They separate us her out, and they put her on display, it says, right in the middle of everyone. They might as well just have drawn a line between her and everyone else. Put her right up there. Draw that line between her. Say, "Look, she's bad. She did something bad. We're going to punish her because that's what the law says to do." Never mind that the law actually calls for both the man and the woman to be stoned, and that if she was caught in the very act, the man therefore was present. The man is nowhere to be found. And so we see very clearly, as Jesus discerns, that their goal is not justice. Their goal is simply to trap Jesus. So Jesus bends down
and begins to draw in the sand. The scripture doesn't tell us what he draws. We don't know, but he begins to draw in the sand. Now, these men that have come, they still are pushing and pushing, right? They're questioning. They want to know. They want to understand. They want Jesus to engage with them. He's totally disengaged. He's down here. They're over here, and they're just talking at him. You see, because they've got a system to defend that he is putting under pressure. You've got a system that protects the people by dividing them up, by putting people on display that have done something wrong, shaming them, and then putting them into a system of violence and death. But Jesus is still drawing on the ground. And they want an answer from him. They want him to be a part of this system of shame, violence, and death. And then Jesus straightens up, and he says, all right, whoever doesn't have sin can cast the first stone. And then he goes back down, and he starts drawing again. So he's not looking. Any one of them could have thrown a stone, and they're in their right to do so. The law says it's okay. But somehow what he's done, the words that he's spoken, but also what he's done, have made a difference. I thought I could get behind you, but I can't. Imagine that I'm drawing the line further this way. I did actually walk this out, but oh well. He continues to draw this line. And they continue to go away. You see, because behind this system of drawing lines and shaming the bad people and putting the good people over here, behind the system is fear. Fear that our sin would be exposed. That if we can't separate and put people over here and call them bad, then someone might find out that we too sin. Fear that we might be the ones who are drug out into the court of public opinion and crucified in front of everyone because of what we have done. So it behooves all of us to separate people, to identify them, and to draw a line between us and them. We want to hide our sin in the darkness and put on the facade that we have no sin. And we want to shine that light brightly on certain sins of certain people so that our sin can stay in the shadows. But Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus shines the light on the truth. The truth that the line that they have drawn between her and them isn't real. Jesus draws in the sand. Maybe he draws a line around the whole crowd that's standing there. Maybe he draws a circle around everyone, the elders, the Pharisees, the disciples, the woman, and comes and stands in the middle of it and says, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." And by that, he reveals to them the truth that they are all together, all sinners,
Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus has come to expose sin. Not to let it linger and lurk and fester in the shadows, but to bring it out, the truth about us, that we are sinners. And that where our system draws lines and offers violence and shame and death, Jesus is showing a different way. A new system that offers life, that offers a way forward for all us sinners, that offers forgiveness and grace, that puts us all together, all under the mercy of God. Sinners who need God's mercy and God's grace. And these elders, these leaders, they don't want it this way. They don't want to be a part of that system. They want consequences, punishment, and death. So one by one, they leave. One by one, they go back into the shadows to continue their plotting. This woman is of no further use to them. But Jesus, he looks up and he sees her. He speaks to her, not about her. He offers her an end to her sinful life, a new way forward, not a path that leads to death, but a path that leads to eternal life. And in that, he models for us the way to hold sinners accountable, to hold each other accountable. It's not that there's no consequences for sin. It's not that we're all sinners, so we just throw our hands up and there's no more consequences. No. There's still consequences for this woman, but now she has an opportunity to reconcile. Now she has an opportunity to rebuild her life and to start a new life, a life without sin. This is the good news. The good news is that we are all together, sinners. And we are all together offered the mercy and grace of God in Jesus Christ. And when we accept that offer, when we don't slink back into the shadows, but we bring our sinful lives into the light of Jesus, we can begin living a new life. The life eternal, the life of the age, the life that God has offered to all people everywhere. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.